I brought you some music again.
Okay, wait, let's listen. I love this song.
I figure with the snow and everything, okay. We just need to be thankful that it's our first day of snow. Let's be grateful for it and then move on.
Well,
you know,
okay, click her off then,
buddy. I'm good for like 30 days. Does anybody else in your audience have like a? I mean, this is kind of a poll.
Okay, all right, ready.
Do you have an actual clock that when the first snowfall hits, and then it's like when that day comes after that, it's like get out of here. It's like having guests in your house too long. Get out now. You're not welcome anymore. You know, you stayed too long.
Last time I'll visit.
30 days of snow. It's irrational. I know because I live in Michigan and I should be used to it.
That's why I'm getting on a plane to Florida next week.
You are not.
I am.
Who's going to be sitting in the control seat here?
Are
you doing it all from Florida?
No, but that's an idea.
We haven't worked it out. That's why I didn't get booked for next week.
We've had this worked out for 16 years, Tommy.
You do this every year?
Well, I got to take a vacation. Might as well go.
I guess I never think of you out of this chair. Isn't that sad?
I would rather not be out of the chair.
Oh, come on. You're not one of those people, are you, that give up all your vacation time because you love your work so much?
Prior job used to pay me. Now.
Oh,
it's all good. It's all good.
What part of Florida are you going to, Sean?
I'm going to, I guess this is Central Florida, as I said.
Orlando?
I'm flying into Orlando. Actually, Mount Dora, Ocala.
There's a mountain
horse.
In Florida? That's the flattest state in the universe, I thought.
I'm going to Mount Dora to run a half marathon and play with the horses in Ocala. How's that?
Wow, that sounds great.
It's going to be cool. Enough of that. We need to talk about who's great in this. Speaking of who's great in this studio.
Well, you know, today I brought a guest with me. I brought Tom Norton from WKTV, which is out of Wyoming Kentwood. And if I'm a little hesitant in my talk today, it's because I'm just getting my voice back.
Well, because you turned another
3 days
older?
I went through puberty finally, Shelley. No, literally, I was three days sick yesterday. I spent the whole day in bed. Yeah, you always hear people go, people on Facebook are so confessional. And then I became one of them yesterday because I'm like, you know what, folks? I'm going to bed. I'm just going to bed and I'll see you later. And I had to do it, but I feel so much better. And I think I'm going to stay here See, I'm already stumbling over my words. I've got like a cough drop in my mouth trying to make sure I don't cough on anybody. I know, or choke. But I think it's really important to remind people that, as my partner says, nobody wants to be sick for the holidays. So if you think you're getting sick, stay home. I know it's hard to say that, but I just did it, and I got to tell you, after one day of sleep, I feel so much better. But
when you kind of work for yourself, you can stay home.
You can, and hopefully you have. Yeah, exactly. It just means that I closed the laptop, and
Let's
I didn't open it.
Let's get back to Tom.
All right,
Norton.
Back to Tom. So we have a lot of stories that came out today. You know, everything from these CEOs who are, you know, anyway, who started a business, who landed, you know, where they are today, asking people like, what was like your first job? What really got you started? Kind of a cute story to begin our week, I feel. And I know we're beginning our week on Thursday here, but that's when we come out. But also looking at Muskegon, what we're doing out there, Anna Gustafson, our former editor, has a great story this week where she's looking about a photographer, artist who came from Ghana to Muskegon. Great story. We also have our last story from Granville Avenue. We've been there for the last 12 weeks reporting on that. We had this wonderful meal on Friday night with the community members as kind of a way to kind of deepen that experience of conversation in our communities. But on that same topic, we have a really cool program that began during our prize of this year. And I have to give props out to Victoria Mullen, who reached out to me during that time and says, we have this great event coming up, this new project we're doing, a new program, and it's called Voices. And I was really intrigued by it. But we just, you know, we looked at the timing and everything. It just was always like kind of falling out. Well, now they've got a few months under their belt. We've been in constant contact with them. And today in Rapid Growth, we released a story about this, which is really fascinating.
Right. Which comes out online, Rapid Growth.
It's online at rapidgrowthmedia.com. But today we wanted to bring in Tom Norton, who's the station. Are you considered general manager?
The GM, yeah.
GM. Yeah, we're going to drop initials today. Yeah, I'm the P, publisher.
Phil, there you go.
I'm the P,
We've got the alphabet covered.
Yeah. Well, you know, anyways, another story. Anyways, another day, another time.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Over beer.
So tell us about why you guys chose to do a series about capturing stories. Start about that. First conversations, like how did this even come to be?
Well, it's kind of our mission is community media. And with that in mind, one of the most powerful elements of community media is storytelling. And that goes through the eons of human history. And it's storytelling in a community nature is what weaves a community together. It's what weaves a family together, which is the microcosm of a community, and then you have the larger community that spins out from that. So it became really a part and parcel of what we do.
So what are you doing right now? I mean, not this program, but I mean, when we talk about the other way, what are some of the ways you've been telling the stories in the past?
Well, we started doing veterans interviews, veterans storytelling, about 10 years ago through GVSU here. And we've been doing that for quite some time. And out of that kind of grew the spread. Well, I've got a story to tell. People wanted it. And they weren't military veteran stories, but they were fascinating stories. And we began to realize that there's all these people, the fabric of our community, that are living right next door to us, down the street from us, who've had these extraordinary lives that have all been part of building the place that we call home. And so this became this big effort to record that for posterity.
I think it's interesting, and you hit on something there too, is that I think people often feel that showing up in life isn't enough. And actually it is.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, I can attest from that from being a community person for so many years. Sure. I mean, my work begins in the neighborhoods of Grand Rapids, so really at the street level.
Yeah.
So working with neighborhood associations, working with neighbors to help organize, helping them take whatever it is that they are concerned about and finding the methodologies to lift up those voices.
Yep.
A lot of times in those days, it just meant showing up and testifying, going to a community meeting and sharing your story in that way, and then movement begins to happen. But for a lot of people, I think they look at the news and they go, oh, well, so-and-so has their name on a building, so they must be the ones that are making Grand Rapids happen. But the reality is, it's everyone who makes Grand Rapids in this region happen.
The folks
so,
on the street.
Tell me about Voices, though. How did you land on this program? I mean, obviously, you did came out of the vets, as you mentioned.
Right.
But how did you know the shape of it was going to take? Because obviously, it sounds a little bit, I'm just going to say it, like StoryCorps.
Right.
Which, you know, is a good model. Mm-hmm. I've used it to interview my father before he passed many times.
Oh, wonderful.
And I've captured a lot of his stories from World War II in the Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
So I have those things that I've recorded for me to have and precisely everything to for our family, our right own history. But in this case, when you started talking about the architecture of Voices,
mm-hmm,
what did you envision was going to happen?
Well, a grand experiment.
Okay.
You know, where because storytelling can be anything, depending on the people, this was going to be an adventure. This was going to be to find out, discover the types of people that, where we live, and how who makes up our community. We did in order that we could come to them a little bit more, to facilitate that a little bit easier, we did create a mobile recording studio.
Which is fascinating. It's an Airstream, isn't it?
Yep, and we take that, because Airstreams are very popular. They're used by Wolverine Worldwide. They're used by a lot of companies to do different things, display cases and whatnot, because the Airstream image is so iconic.
True.
So what we did is we took that, and then that mobile recording studio will be positioned around the city, throughout Wyoming, Kentwood, and around the region. And that the big thing with that is to give people that opportunity where it's easy for them to come and schedule that appointment, because we don't do walk-ins, because there is a little bit of preparation that you have to do when you come in to tell your story.
And we'll get to that in a minute, but but going back to doing this program, it takes equipment.
Yeah.
Because exactly, you guys have outfitted now is the Airstream. I guess does that Airstream have a nickname yet? Do you have you guys given a nickname yet internally?
No, we haven't. That's a great idea.
Because I just feel like saying call it the Airstream or mobile studio sounds really generic.
How about Rody?
Rody? I like Rody, you know. I'm gonna go hang out with Rody for
exactly.
It's just gonna have a smoke or something. Maybe we shouldn't call it Rody, but Rody has
maybe akin to Carney.
Well, Carney's even worse. I'm just going to tell you my experience with Carney is someday over a bar drink, but I'm not going to tell it here.
Yeah. No.
I know where to add it.
No. Yes.
Shelley's trained me well. no, but I I do think it takes a lot of money to make this happen. So how was funding secured for a project like this?
Well, it comes out of our operating budget for WKTV, where we are supported by the franchise fees paid by Comcast and AT&T via the cities of Wyoming and Kentwood. And that that funding helps create these vehicles, these opportunities, this place called WKTV as a television station, and then the mobile unit that we take around, the multiple mobile units that we take around. And this is the newest incarnation, really, of mobile community media and making it accessible for people. And in this sense, instead of the high school football game, the sports event, the concerts, and the variety of other things that we cover with our mobile units, this is now just simply you come to us, you sit down with a loved one, and you share your personal family history, your personal story. And we've already had some wonderful ones. And it just goes to show you that those gems are throughout our community. And if you think your story isn't that spectacular, that means it probably is.
So how do you prep one to come and tell their story?
Well, we just invite everybody to go to WKTVvoices.org. And when they go to that website, there's a whole preparation guide that they can download, they can read, they can print out, they can do whatever. And that allows them to begin the process of prepping for this interview that they're going to do with a loved one. Because we don't interview you. You interview a friend. Your friend interviews you. It's really not an interview per se. It's more of a conversation that takes place between two people that know each other very well.
And don't you hope that both parties have agreed to have that conversation?
Because
it would be... I mean, being interviewed is not a comfortable experience.
Exactly, yeah. This is more of a around the table, you know, because once you step inside the Voices trailer, you see there is a diner table at the end of the, and it's very comfortable, and there's cushions, and there's pillows, and there's the little table lamp, and there's coffee, and you just slide in and begin talking. And we record the whole thing, and we place portions of it. We go through some of the interviews and redact out some of the really fascinating stories, and those become part of a broadcast. If you receive a free copy of your recording that you did with a loved one or a family member,
What format is that when you read?
It could be in DVD, but we're finding a lot of people enjoy just the Facebook post that they then just share with their families.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So does every interview then go on the Facebook page?
Yes, every interview goes on the Facebook page, and then everyone gets the, if they so desire, a DVD.
Okay.
Because DVDs, believe it or not, are still very popular. It's really amazing.
Well, I think anybody, and I'm one of those guys that still have DVDs, and all my millennial friends are always like, oh, they always give me crap. And I say, I'm going to watch a show, and they go, you're going to stream it, or you're just going to watch on your old box and cable?
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Oh, you're so mean. You know? But I do both, by the way, just so I can stay well-versed in that field. But I wonder about if someone doesn't have a friend. Like, they just want to come in and tell a story. And sometimes some people are shy.
That's very true.
I mean, there's a lot of reasons why people may not want to do this. Mm-hmm. And yet there's a lot of reasons why they should, because those stories are so important.
Yeah.
So how do you accommodate someone who might have a special need, for example, in the sense of feeling shy?
Yeah. If somebody is shy, or if somebody doesn't have a quote-unquote loved one to share that conversation, to have that conversation with, we provide the person to sit down with them. And it's usually Victoria. And she will sit down and have the conversation with them. So
I was almost like going to say, like, Victoria, can you be in the studio just so we can hear your voice on the radio? Because she's got those buttery voices, doesn't she? It's like classic actress, actor trained voice.
Yep.
Oh,
exactly.
It's wonderful.
Precisely.
So let's talk about what you've amassed already. Mm-hmm. What have we seen so far coming in? Maybe, I mean, is there a number now that you've recorded? Do you have an actual number you can report? Like, we've recorded 100 stories, 50, 25?
Not yet, but what we can do is we are going to be doing a couple of Holocaust survivors very soon, which is going to be incredible. And we also did a couple of the stories from the unions that worked the grape fields in California. And those stories are really just remarkable. And we are reaching out now to the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce to get the Hispanic community to tell their stories. And we're also reaching out to the immigrant community all the immigrants that are coming and make up the fabric of our community to tell their stories of immigration. Through the years, we've encountered a lot of these immigrants at the TV station, and their tales are many times nothing that we could possibly imagine.
We do share one of those stories from an immigrant in this week's issue with Rapid Growth, which is really fascinating.
Yeah.
I was completely blown away by some of the insights that I hadn't thought about.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, wow, this is really good. Now, there's something else about this that I think is really fascinating, is that you've mentioned that this will be archived with the Library of Congress. Excuse me again. So I'm curious, how is that transfer going to work?
That's a submission transfer. And then what we're also looking at doing is working with both the local libraries have expressed an interest as being a repository of these stories, which in a certain sense is a lot more apropos. And I really like that concept of the local libraries, where you live, being that repository of your family's history.
Yeah.
So we're currently working on that as well.
And so because it's digital, I'm assuming all this is digital based. We're not in a film world anymore that I came out of. And we're clearly in digital. Maybe this is a best question for a general manager to answer.
Sure.
How do we record the present with a mind on the future that things are changing? I'm assuming your technology is at the top.
Sure.
So what is top for you right now?
Well, the safest way to go to preserve it for the future is just doing the digital file format.
Okay.
And the standard .mov. That means nothing to many people, but I mean,
sure,
that's the standard digital stamp that we...
Much like a JPEG would be. People
exactly
understand that.
Yep,
MOV is like JPEG.
And a JPEG will be around for many, many decades because it'll always be able to be converted into something. And then that's where the longevity is going to be.
Got it.
Yeah.
So that roadmap essentially is what we pick the format that we think is going to be the dominant one based upon the past and moving forward.
Because we do encourage people, DVDs have a short shelf life.
They do. I found that out. DVDs. I've had some that I bought in the 80s are starting to, or
10,
CDs
20 years.
Are starting to shift a little bit.
Yeah, 10, 20 years.
I put them in like, why won't this play? It's from the 80s.
Yeah.
My
There's
LP
your answer.
Still play, though, from like
yes,
way back
forever
when.
And ever. Hallelujah.
A couple minutes, Tommy, and we'll say our goodbyes.
Well, you know, as you look at moving forward, you guys are based in Kentwood, Wyoming.
Yep.
Right? Your studio's in Wyoming, but your Kentwood, Wyoming is
correct
how you bill yourself.
Yeah.
So I understand you're going to be in Grand Rapids. So is Grand Rapids open to recording
these
stories?
Well, yeah. I mean,
you're going to be at Fulton Street starting in January.
Yeah, we're going to be at Fulton Street in January. We're going to be at Marge's Donut Den the second Saturday of every month. So we have a new program with the Voices trailer called Second Saturdays at Marge's. And that starts in January. So every second Saturday, we'll be at Marge's Donut Den. Tonight, we'll be at Rogers Plaza for Wyoming Gives Back. So if you want to see the Voices Trail, you can stop by and see it and kind of get your mind around the concept of telling your personal story.
Interesting.
Yes.
So when you're out there in the winter,
yes,
it's heated, right?
Yes,
and people are going to ask. I'm looking
yes
outside.
Wear your hat.
No.
Yes, we built
going,
a fire. And
I'm just going to tell you that I stop all talks of camping in October.
Yes, yes.
Because I know after that, I'm putting it on pause till next year. So it is heated.
It is heated and air conditioned. So it's got all the creature comforts and a Keurig coffee machine.
Oh,
so
that's even better.
That's just
a cup of coffee.
You have
while
a cup
you're
of coffee while you do your story.
Oh, yes, that's even better.
Yeah.
So anything... as we wrap up here, any comments as far as like first steps for people? Because some people, you know, obviously making reservation is a part of it, but maybe how does one begin to even broach the topic with families?
I would say the first thing to do is visit the website, wktvvoices.org, and then look at the preparation guide. And then that can begin to really get your mind around this idea of sitting down with a loved one, because everybody has a family member who's left the family, who's passed on, and they've always said, oh, if we had only got their story, you know, how my mom raised five kids all by herself, or all the stories, all that stuff. And it's the everyday elements of our lives that make our lives interesting. It isn't just the spectacular, it's the everyday elements.
So again, the ideal person, though, is to come in and tell a first-person narrative is what you're looking for, not talking about grandma did this, grandma did that.
Correct.
Because grandma's not there to corroborate that story.
Right. So get grandma while you can.
Come on, grandma. I know you're a life supporter.
Name of a book.
appointment.
I think we'll say our goodbyes now.
Yeah. I would be that guy. By the way, you know that my grandmother's last words to me were in ICU on an iPad was, "Oh, Tommy, I can't talk to you right now. I just saw what my hair looks like. This is awful. I can't have this going out on the internet." And she reached up and disconnected. Oh. And that was my last conversation with my grandmother in ICU.
Oh, my gosh.
So, I mean, it's funny, but it's also, I'll never forget it, because it was always who she was.
Yeah,
I mean, so my goodbyes to my grandmother were over the internet.
She's staring at you right now. Very modern.
Couldn't be there, but I was there.
Thank you, gentlemen. Very nice. RapidGrowthMedia.com for more information. Tom Norton, General Manager, WKTV, and Tommy Allen, publisher with Rapid Growth. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you so much.